Hello, you're listening to Siren FM and welcome to another edition of Food for Thought. I'm Charlotte Reed and this is your weekly look at the food that Lincolnshire has to offer. And this week, as new students are settling into campus life, I speak to the team behind Siren FM's Water Cooler, who are all students at the University of Lincoln, to find out about their tips for the weekly student food shop. And I also have some simple and great winter recipe ideas. But first, Monday was Lincolnshire Day, a chance to celebrate everything about Lincolnshire. Each week I speak to cafes and restaurants in Lincoln who create local produce, but this week I wanted to find out what Lincolnshire has to offer overall. So I spoke to Helen Scott, who works on the Tastes of Lincolnshire project, to find out what goods that Lincolnshire in particular is famous for, other than the Lincolnshire sausage.
Well, there's a wide variety, really, ranging from the fresh produce sector, not commonly known for fresh produce, but in actual fact, we've got something like the largest proportion of grade one soils in the country. So that means that we do produce an awful lot of fresh produce, and we are in fact the largest potato producer in the UK. So the potato is quite a pertinent product to the county, but we're probably more commonly known for sausages and possibly plum bread.
And what is plum bread?
Plum bread, it's not really what it says on the packet. It's sort of a lightly spiced sweet loaf, which doesn't actually contain any plums, but it is heavily fruited. And there are lots of different recipes from bakers around the county. They all have their own secret recipes. They're all quite different products, so it's actually interesting to try the different plum breads from the different bakeries. And it's quite lovely to have it toasted. My children enjoy it toasted with some hot butter, or to be eaten with cheese, which is also really nice.
And you touched on something there I was going to ask about. Now, is it food that sort of Lincolnshire is known for, or are there sort of divisions within Lincolnshire itself? Say, like, there's the Lincolnshire sausage, but then there's also things like the Boston sausage.
Yes, possibly. I mean, the Boston sausage is quite famous. It's sort of gone out of the county quite a long way. They do have a stall on Borough Market in London. But again, similar to the plum bread, the Lincolnshire sausage recipe changes depending on which butcher or producer you go to. So it's sort of the same commonality, the pork and the sage, but the actual recipe does differ. So they are all quite different.
And is there any sort of history behind these foods, and why did they come up in Lincolnshire?
Why? Well, I think, I'm no expert, but I think from the sausage point of view, we've always been a very big pig producer. I think we're something like the fifth largest pig producer in England. So traditionally, we've been a big pork producing county, so that's probably where the sausage link came from. And you know, the Lincolnshire sausage has travelled far and wide, so that's why it's become a little bit synonymous with the county. We do have a sausage festival each year, which will be held on the 27th of October this year up at the Castle, and that's now in its 10th year, and it does have quite a following sort of nationally, so that's why I've become quite known for and associated with the sausage. Plum bread, again, I'm not an expert, but I think it's probably something to do with it being an agricultural county, needing to provide sustenance to the workers in the field. I think there is something along the lines of using up what's left in the kitchen in order to provide something for the workers, and a farm wife at some point coming up with a recipe which just became quite popular and grew from there.
And now you work towards a Taste of Lincolnshire.
Yes.
What does that organisation and that project do?
Okay. Well, the Taste of Lincolnshire and Select Lincolnshire Partnership are two projects which have been brought together, both funded by Lincolnshire County Council. They have separate focuses in the past. So the Taste of Lincolnshire project was set up in 2002 as a tourism project to encourage visitors into the county and to signpost them around the county using food as the hook and driver, if you like, and encouraged sort of establishments where you could buy, purchase, consume produce, Lincolnshire produce to brand themselves, so hotels, restaurants, bed and breakfasts, cafes and so on. And Select Lincolnshire came along slightly later and was all about branding the produce or the outputs of the county and encouraging producers to use branding as a provenance, to show provenance of their product and to help them find and identify new routes to market. So we've done quite a lot of work with producers trying to help them to identify and target retailers that they can approach. We've attended trade fairs nationally where they've been come face to face with buyers, so on and so forth. The two projects have now been brought together so that we're more coordinated in the activity that we undertake. But essentially, underneath it all, it's all about promoting Lincolnshire as a county, promoting our producers and supporting the agricultural and food sector in the county, because it is one of the largest employers in our county.
And is it the produce that Lincolnshire has, is it something that sort of particularly brings in tourism, brings in people's sort of interest of the county?
I would say so, yes. I mean, food tourism is quite an important aspect. Certainly being able to offer a sort of a good quality sort of food offer to tourists that do come in is incredibly important. It's one of the things they look for. So I would definitely say that the quality food offer in our county is one of the big bonuses that we're able to offer tourists when they come in. And we do promote it as such on the website, the Visit Lincolnshire website. An important aspect of a trip anywhere is the food. So what you can see, what you can do, but also what you can eat.
I think that is something that's sort of really quite nice about Lincolnshire, because it's, you kind of always think of the Lincolnshire sausage first, but yes, if you're willing to sort of delve a little deeper,
yes, it does go an awful lot wider than the sausage and the plum bread. I mean, we have sort of award-winning cheesemakers, jam producers, some speciality breed producers, sort of pork, and it goes on and on and on, really. So there's all sorts out there. If you look a little, and it's also very, you know, it's quite available as well if you look about. So even in the city of Lincoln, there's lots of places where you can actually buy Lincolnshire produce. All Lincolnshire cooperative stores and the Cheese Society, Doddington Hall. We have Stokes Coffee and butchers like Elite Meats on the Bale and Foster's on Monk's Road. And also the city is well served with farmers markets. So I think there are four farmers markets each month in the Lincoln City Square on the first Friday of the month, and Castle Square on the third Saturday of the month, on the High Street on the second Wednesday of the month, and in North Highcombe on the fourth Friday. So actually it is out there, and consumers can look for the Taste of Lincolnshire and Select Lincolnshire logo when they're out in the marketplace to help identify what is a Lincolnshire product.
And also something I've noticed from sort of going to restaurants and places in Lincoln is that there are also restaurants that are wanting to take in Lincolnshire produce and will sort of quite proudly show that they're doing that on their menu and things like that. And is that another thing that you were trying to do as part of Taste of Lincolnshire, or is it sort of...
Yes. I mean, that is one part of the project, was to encourage those establishments to display the branding so that when people are looking for somewhere to eat, that they can identify where they will be able to buy or choose a Lincolnshire option. And we have quite strict criteria as to who actually can join and can can display the branding, so that there can be confidence that if you choose an establishment that's displaying the logo, you will be able to choose a Lincolnshire dish or a dish that is made from Lincolnshire ingredients.
Brilliant. And you've mentioned it slightly, but going from the beginning of October, where it's Lincolnshire Day, to sort of more of the end of October, it is the annual Sausage Festival again. So what can we expect this year?
At the Sausage Festival, well, as I say, it's a 10th anniversary. It's a free event up at the castle. There are many, many food producers, not all Lincolnshire sausage producers, although there will be quite a number of those, but a wide range of sort of Lincolnshire food products on offer. But also, interestingly, this year it coincides with the Lincoln Cathedral celebration of food and farming. So the cathedral will also be free to visitors and will have displays of farming in Lincolnshire through the ages. And that will also include an NFU, which is National Farmers Union Roadshow. So really it's a fantastic offer this particular year, with free entry to both sides.
You can find out about lots of food that Lincolnshire has to offer by visiting sarenonline.co.uk and clicking on Food for Thought, and there you can find out about all the other places that have already been featured on the show before. And as Helen mentioned, some of Lincolnshire's produce has managed to make a name for itself with stalls at Borough Market in London. And myself and Sam Perdue went to Borough Market for Food for Thought earlier in the year, and you can listen to that online too. It's officially autumn now, and so instead of being sad about the change in weather and the shorter days, here's a chance to try out some winter recipes. A good one is soup. Now, you might think that making soup is a bit too much of a fuss, seeing as you can get tins and instant soup sachets relatively cheaply. But this is a tomato soup that has plenty of vegetables in it and can last for longer than just one meal. To make this, you will need some tomatoes, an onion, carrot, celery, red pepper, a vegetable stock cube, water, tomato puree, black pepper, and some sugar. So start by preparing all of the ingredients. Dice the onion, peel and chop the carrot, and slice the celery stick up. Also, chop up the tomatoes and the red pepper, but keep them to one side for the time being. Put the celery, onion, and carrot in a frying pan with a little oil and allow them to soften. Once they've cooked, add in a teaspoon of tomato puree, a teaspoon of sugar, and a pinch of the black pepper. These all season the soup, so make sure you mix them in well. Now it's time to add the tomatoes and the red pepper. Allow them to soften in the frying pan and then transfer the ingredients to a saucepan. Now you have to make up the stock. So make around a pint of vegetable stock using a stock cube and gradually add the liquid to the softened vegetables. Once all the liquid has been added, leave it for about 15 minutes to reduce, but remember to stir it every now and again. Once it looks less liquidy and more like a soup, take it off the heat and allow it to cool. This is so that when you're blending the mixture, you don't fire hot soup all around the kitchen. Once cool, blend the soup until it looks more like a puree. Pour it out into a bowl and reheat the soup before you eat it. You should also have enough for a couple of bowls of soup, so it's either great for sharing or it's great to last for a few days. Now, if you try out any of the recipes that I mentioned on the show, then let me know. You can find out how to get in touch with me by going to the Siren website and clicking on Food for Thought. Now, you may have noticed the recent influx of new students to Lincoln over the past few weeks. And when you're living on your own for the first time, sometimes it's hard to know what to cook and what to buy. So I'm now joined by people from the water cooler. Would you
Hello.
Like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Nick.
Okay, and you're now our sort of student representatives, because you're both journalism students from the University of Lincoln at the moment. So firstly, what would you kind of recommend as shopping tips for new students coming to the uni?
Buy in bulk with things that last a long time, because usually if you buy in bulk, it works out cheaper. But always have a check with things like beans. They will try and trick you and make you think that if you buy 8 cans in a multi-pan pack, you are getting a better value. Don't believe them, because it's not always true. But yeah, fresh stuff. Even if you think you're getting a better deal buying in bulk, sometimes you're not, because it'll just go off if you're only cooking for yourself. So bear that one in mind.
I'd say check the sell-by dates as well of all the food, because if you, like the first time I went shopping when I was in Freshers, I brought like loads of bananas and loads of oranges and loads of fresh fruit that has a lasting date of about 3 days. And my cupboard just smelt, because you forget to eat the stuff. And unless you know what you have in your cupboard, or you've got a decent cupboard, you will forget about it. So really buy stuff that lasts, like beans and canned stuff, because that day when you forget to go shopping, you'll always have something in the cupboard at least to eat to get you by.
And so do you sort of eat quite well at home, or do you sort of, are you a bit bad sometimes?
I'm pretty awful, to be honest. I mean, I'm getting better, especially in third year, but especially for the freshers, it's quite hard, because you've just come from home, you're not quite used to cooking for yourself. So I'd say start off easy meals, stuff like pasta, and then try and get some frozen vegetables in there, because it's all easy. You're just boiling that and you're getting a fairly nutritious meal out of that.
See, we're different in our house, in our student house, to what we are in a lot of my friends' houses, because we, as a four in our house, go out shopping, do a big shop, and then just take it in turns to cook. So because you're only cooking maybe once or twice a week, you tend to eat, you know, you put the effort in to make a proper meal. Like the other night we had sausage and mash, we have like a lot of casseroles, so we eat pretty well, I think, compared to a lot of students.
I was gonna say, because when you're in student accommodation, you tend to have small kitchens and lots of people who all want to cook at the same time. So you obviously just sort of group together.
Yeah.
And do you have a similar thing, or you just by yourself?
No, in the flats I've had, we've all had a bit, I don't know, the kitchen's been a bit of a controversial place, because sometimes like people want to, you'll find you want to cook dinner at about the same time that all your flatmates do, and unless you're doing what Lizzie does, it can get a bit kind of, people like, you want to put something in the oven but someone's already got something in there at a slightly different temperature. You just need to have good relations with your flatmates and just kind of understand what they're cooking and what you like to eat, what your eating habits are as people, and just try and make that work around everyone else, really.
And now, at the moment, students have just had their student loans. They think they're very rich and that you can spend it on whatever you want. What about when it starts coming towards the end of term and you don't have as much money? Sort of, what would be good tips for things to buy then?
Lots of potatoes, the pasta. You find that a lot of, you know, if you go to a supermarket and you get the value or the, you know, the lower end sauce, especially with stuff like pasta sauce and things like that, it tastes just as nice as the more expensive ones. So, you know, sometimes you have to go a bit down market with what you're eating, but it's, in the end, it tastes the same.
Yeah,
really.
The value ready meals, I mean, in the first year I had them quite a bit, and they're not great. You look at them, they don't look very appetizing, but they taste all right, and they get you by, really. They get you by that day, so...
They make sure you've eaten something.
Yeah, so. And it kind of it teaches you to budget a bit later for the next month if you don't want to eat value meals again.
And now, do you have sort of any specific places where you like to go shopping in Lincoln where you get a particularly good deal on meat or something like that?
The best place that we have found is the market, by far, for meat. If you go there... The butchers on the market, they do a thing called Meat for the Week, and it's £10 and you get 6 portions of meat, and I think it's only meant to do 2 people, but they're big portions, so we can split it between our house of 4. So for 6 portions of meat for the week, you get that for £10, and you won't get that anywhere else, really. And it's all different meat, you know, so it's a bit of a variety. You sometimes don't know what you're getting, but it's fun.
Iceland's pretty good as well, because it's very cheap and it's stuff that will last, and they've got pretty much everything you can think of. So they've got pizzas, they've got fish fingers, all that kind of stuff, and it's, you can mostly get a lot of stuff for £1, so, and obviously it's going to last, so it's usually a good bet.
Brilliant. And so remind us when the water cooler is on.
We are on Monday mornings at 8 o'clock.
Till 9.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, to end the show, here is a quick and simple recipe for shortbread. Shortbread sounds like it would involve a lot of hard work, but in fact, you mix 4 things together and that's it. The ingredients you will need are butter, sugar, flour, corn flour, and maybe I lied a little bit about 4. You can add a 5th, which is some chocolate chips if you fancy. For shortbread, you do need a lot of butter, but in fact, not a lot of sugar. Therefore, I think it's not too bad. Cream together the butter and the sugar until you have a fluffy mixture. Now add the flour and the corn flour and mix well until you have a nice smooth dough. You can leave it like that, but if you want to, you can add chocolate chips and you just need to mix them into the dough. Remove the dough from the bowl and roll it into a cylinder shape. Wrap it up in cling film and leave it to chill in the fridge for about an hour. Once it's chilled, remove the cling film and cut the cylinder into about 14 circular biscuit shapes. Place on a baking tray and cook them in the oven for about 30 to 40 minutes at gas mark 3. Now, these are a really simple recipe to make. I made them the other day after we'd had a big roast dinner, thinking that we'd be completely full and wouldn't want any more food. And then we realised a couple of hours later that we kind of wanted a pudding. So I just managed to knock up these shortbread biscuits, purely because these are the things that I just had around in my kitchen. And so they're a really simple thing to do. And if you try them out, let me know. And that's all for another week on Food for Thought. Thank you for listening. If you want to catch up on this week's episode, head to sirenonline.co.uk, where you can listen to the show in full. If you think of cafes, restaurants and foods that Lincoln and Lincolnshire should be celebrating more, then let me know and I'll get them featured on the show. You can also send me pictures of foods that you've tried out after hearing about them on the show, or send me some recipes that you think the listeners of Siren should be trying out. And if you email me, I might even try and get you mentioned on the show. Until then, I hope you have a good week, and bye.